Good evening, I'm now called. My name's Steve. I said it last week and I'll say it again tonight. As far as I'm concerned, that's the most important thing I'm going to say from this podium tonight. I don't ever want to forget that. I want to welcome the two new people back. I kind of wish I could go back and talk about step one tonight, but I can't. But that's what it's all about. That's where the beginning is. So just remember that. A couple other things real quick that I always have to mention because they're vitally important to my sobriety. And that is, number one, I have a sponsor. His name is Andy Daniels. He doesn't mind if I use his last name. He's been around these rooms a long time, so most everybody knows him. I have a home group, and that is the Thursday Night Grape City Group. We'll be meeting here in about an hour and 10 minutes in Northeast. It's an open speaker meeting. If you're ever in that area after this meeting, stop in and see us. We'd love to have you. I have a second home group. It meets on Monday night in Northeast. It's a big book in 12 and 12 discussion group. And I love that meeting for that reason. And I have a sobriety date. My sobriety date is July 15th of 1989. So I just recently celebrated 30 years of continuous sobriety. And I don't... Thank you, but I don't say it for that reason. I say it because my sponsor tells me that I always have to tell you how long I'm sober because it's vitally important, especially to the new people, to realize that this thing works one day at a time. I only got this thing one day at a time like everybody else, and I'm only one drink away from a drunk like everybody else. I have to always remember that. I have to tell you, last week, I kind of got away from myself, and I talked for quite a while, so I took the liberty to try to shorten it up a little bit tonight, and hopefully I did that, although it's going to be whatever it is. But I want to share with you real quick, there's been a lot of stuff going on in my life lately, a lot of really serious stuff in the last couple of days. And I was blindsided at work yesterday. Some really heavy stuff is coming down on me. And I'm not going to talk about that because I'm not here to share a fifth step. I'm here to talk about one. But what I do want to say is, I don't care how long you're sober. I don't care how long you're around these rooms. These 12 steps, these 12 principles that we practice in all our affairs are so vitally important. You know, these things that have been happening and going on around me haven't necessarily tested my sobriety. I haven't thought about picking up a drink, but they sure as hell test my serenity. You know, my level of peace and serenity has really been strung out. And that's why I say that I don't come to AA to learn how not to drink. I know how not to drink. I come to AA to learn how to live sober. And that's what these 12 steps are all about. You know, it's a design for living, as far as I'm concerned, to teach me, even still today, how to live sober, peaceful and serene one day at a time. And, you know, and my wife, Maureen, always says that whenever we're asked to lead or share or do something for AA, there's always a reason for it. It's always a God thing. And I'll tell you what, lately, talking about these steps, they're really helping me. Because I can't tell you how much, in the last couple of days, especially, I've had to turn things over, and then I take them back, and then I turn it over again, step three. How much I've had to admit and accept how powerless I am over other people, places, and things, as well as alcohol, many, many times, step one, and really had to rely on a higher power in my life to try to keep me sane, which is step two. That's what I talked about last week. And also, with what's been going on the last couple of days, four and five is really coming into play. Because no matter what happens in my life, whatever situation I'm in or involved in, or what's going on, right, wrong, or different, I have to look at my part in it. And I don't like to do that. You know, even in this situation that I'm going through right now, Mark and I were talking a little bit on the way out here, I have to look at my part in it. And I'll get a little more into that as I go on here, you know. But that's been a struggle for me. So, you know, I just want to say that You know, I don't know if this was God's plan. I'm not real happy with it, but I'm grateful to be here tonight. You know, I have struggled the last couple of days with putting this together. I'm not going to lie to you. So I'll give you my best. I made the commitment. I'm here, and hopefully I have something to offer. I know what's most importantly, like I said, I'm here for me tonight, and you know, and it's going to help me stay sober, you know. This helps me strengthen the decision not to pick up a drink today. And that's, in my life, what's most important. So tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about what I know. Once again, I'm not a gifted speaker. I don't have any profound stuff to give you. I can only share with you what's been given to me by people like you in rooms like this. And through great sponsorship and through a couple of 24 hours and some own personal experiences myself. But you know, I talked about 1, 2, and 3 last week. And I said this last week, and I'll say it again tonight, and I'll probably say it every single week. It's amazing how these steps lead into each other, how one leads into 2, 2 into 3, so on and so forth. And it really does. If you really look at the way these steps are, how they're written, they play right in. You know, one goes right into the next. And I think when I say that, you know, I talk about steps 4 and 5, you know, I just have to remember how important it is to be prepared to do these steps, you know, all of these steps. But 4 and 5, I needed to be prepared. And that's where a sponsor was important for me, you know, to help me get prepared. You know, I have to remember that these are character defects. This isn't a character assassination. A good friend of mine told me that, and we were talking a couple weeks ago, and I like that. But I need to remember that. You know, this isn't a character assassination. That's really important. And it's not so much about what I did, but why I did it. And, you know, for me, thorough is a key word in step 4. You know, I like to tell the guys that I'm working with not to rush through this. I know some people would disagree with that. That's fine. But I'm the type of person that I don't rush things, and I, that's just me, you know. But I try to tell, I tell the guys that I'm working with, you know, I want to make sure you're ready. I want to make sure you're prepared. I want to make sure you got a God in your life, or a higher power in your life, a power greater than yourself. But in the same respect, I don't want you to drag your feet. You know, let's get the thing done. You know, procrastination for me is still a problem today. So, you know, it's one of those character defects that I still have to work on. So, you know, I don't like to rush into it, but I don't want to take forever either. You know, when I first got sober, the first sponsor I had, I got sober down in Florida, and the first sponsor that I had, he had me start to journal right from the very beginning, right from the first couple of days I introduced into the rooms. And John used to always tell me that journaling was very important, and he got me a spiral book, he got it for me, and a pen, pencil, whatever it was, and he told me, just whatever you think about, try to write at least one thought down a night. You know, and he would always tell me that the thoughts come off the tip of a pen easier than they come off the tip of your tongue, and that has always stuck with me ever since he told me that. It, for me, anyways, that's vitally true. I can sit, and when I'm thinking, I'm writing stuff down, and that's why I have this, because if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget it. You know, and I'm here, there, and everywhere. So this kind of keeps me in line with where I want to go and what I want to say. But I really do believe that. When I journal, when I write things down, they come off, the words come off the tip of my fingers a hell of a lot easier than they come off the tip of my tongue. And like I said, you know, some people I know would not necessarily agree. I know I've heard some people say that you got to get right into a fourth step, and so be it. I don't think, I believe that there is no wrong way to do a right thing. So, you know, as long as it gets done, as far as I'm concerned, is the important thing. My prior sponsor before Andy was a gentleman by the name of Denny Wallen. And Denny would always tell me that I would ask him, you know, when I'm sponsoring guys, because I started sponsoring early on, when he was sponsoring me early on. And then I would ask Denny, you know, how do I know when somebody's ready to do a four-step? And he told me, you'll know they're ready to do a four-step when you know they have a God in their life or a higher power. And when you know from working with them and talking to them and getting to know them that they have a God in their life, you'll know that they've thoroughly completed the third step. And I know that is true. I've experienced that. You know, step three, gave me the foundation. Steps one, two, and three give me the foundation that I needed to get into this inventory. And like I said, I think it's vitally important that the steps are numbered and taken in the order that they're written. Because, like I said, steps one, two, and three gave me the firm foundation to start to take a look at myself. You know, step one, I identify the problem. Two and three, I start to get to the solution. And it starts me on the journey. And now, this is where the work begins, as far as I'm concerned. It's been said that four and five separate the men from the boys, you know, the women from the girls. And, you know, for me, it's gut honesty. And it's a gut honest look at me. It's me looking at me and getting to know what's going on inside. Step four asks us to be searching and fearless, which to me, this means to quit lying to myself and to have the courage to look thoroughly and honestly at all of my characteristics, bad as well as good. Step three's decision is really going to have little effect unless I'm willing to face and be rid of the things about myself that are causing me to be apprehensive about making that decision to turn my will over in the first place. I'll read that again. Step three's decision is really going to have little effect unless I'm willing to face and be rid of the character traits, the things about me, that really are making me apprehensive to make that decision in the beginning to turn my will and my life over. And I have to remember that. My perception about things is usually the opposite, even still today. You know, I act arrogant when I want to be secure, when I'm insecure. I would try so hard to get everybody to like me when I can't stand myself, you know. And then step four allows me to look at and change or accept these character traits for what they are instead of running and hiding from them or drinking them away. You know, usually because of fear. Fear is, you know, is a big factor in all of that. I don't know about you, but I was a pathological liar. You know, I lied so much that I believed my own lies. You know, I think there came a point in time when I really didn't know the truth from the false. And, you know, I lied when telling the truth was easier. You know, I always lied to other people, but more importantly, I always lied to myself. You know, I was always lying to myself. And step four requires total honesty. And when I think about that, you know, the struggle for me was I had so much shame and guilt, you know, about my past, the things that I had done, that it controlled me. And it'll control me today if I allow it. You know, if I don't work through this fourth step to get past that, to get past how I feel, the guilt and the shame. And a personal inventory helps release those feelings. Putting my secrets in writing does that. Like I said, things flow off the tip of my fingers a lot better than they flow off the tip of my tongue. So, you know, a lot of the things for me anyways, in my fourth step, They aren't all that big of a deal when I see them on paper, when I see them in writing. But then there's other things that are, you know, there's the things that are really serious and they need some repairs, and that's not necessarily easy. You know, this isn't, as far as I'm concerned, a real easy thing to do, but I think it's vitally important. And once I do it, I can't even explain to you the release that I feel from it, you know. But this is a starting point. You know, this is where the starting point is. Most importantly, for me anyway, it reminds me once again that I'm not a bad person trying to get good. That I'm a sick person trying to get well. And I'll say that about everybody in this room. You know, we're not bad people. I don't know about you, but that's what I thought. You know, I thought I was this terrible person. When it came to this, doing this thing, I thought, man, I really, you know, didn't know if I could go through with it. You know, and what it, like I said, what it teaches me is that I'm not a bad person. I'm a sick person trying to get well, and I need to remember that. Also, when it's in writing, I'm owning up to it, and that helps me put the past to bed, you know, to bury the hatchet. This is what I was just talking about. It helped me to see my part in things, and why I hurt others, and it also helps me to see some of the things that I thought were so terrible that I just blew out of proportion. You know, I'm a great one for making a mountain out of a molehill. And like I said, the nice thing about this is there's really no wrong way to do a right thing. I've done a lot of fourth and fifth steps with other guys in a lot of different ways. You know, there's the graph form in the book. There's pamphlets that you can get. There's worksheets. I've had guys that have just written letters, paragraph form, you know, 1, 2, 3, all that. So, like I said, for me anyways, I think the most important thing is to do it. I really don't... there's no wrong way to do a right thing. And there's nowhere that it says that you only have to do it once. The big book tells me more will be revealed, you know, and I truly believe that, like I said in the very beginning as well, I believe that step one is the only step that I have to do 100%. The other 11, if I give it my best at any given time, 80%, 85%, 90%, 95%, whatever it is, that's the best I can expect for myself. And the big book tells me that more will be revealed, so I truly believe that at that point in time, God's only going to give me what I can handle. I do believe that. So, you know, and other things crop up. Life still goes on. I'm 30 years sober, and I'm telling you, I'm working on a fourth and fifth step. You know, and maybe not actually physically writing it out, but ask my sponsor. We've been talking a lot the last couple of days, and that's important. That's what it's all about. One other thing that I want to mention that my sponsor told me in the beginning was... to write down also somewhere, make a list of some character assets. Because it's just not about the bad things. You know, a proper inventory taken isn't just about the liabilities, it's about the assets. You know, it's about the things we have in stock. And I struggled with that, because I really thought I didn't have anything good about me. You know, and I remember telling him that, and he said, you can think about it, you can find some. And he helped me with that. And that's where sponsorship is so important. You know, like I said, I struggled with the fact thinking that I was a bad person, and I'm not. I wasn't. You know, I always have to look at my part in everything, you know, even if I feel the other person or situation is at fault. And that's exactly what I was talking about in the very beginning here. And that's what I've been, you know, kind of struggling with these last couple of days. And I'll get through it. Everything's going to be fine. I know that. the only way we really have of getting the pit out of our stomachs is to face it, to own it, write it down, and make amends. And I know, and I believe, even still today, that I'm only as sick as my secrets, you know. And my secrets will get me drunk. So if I don't be rid of them, I'm treading on pretty thin water. I truly do believe that. This inventory is like everything else in the program. The more that I put into it, the more I'm going to get out of it. Now for me, my stumbling point was step five, was the thought of, why do I have to tell another human being? Why can't I just work this thing out with God? And I've heard a lot of people say that, but I really felt that way, and I thought, you know, and it even talks about it in the book, that, you know, God knows everything. You know, God already knows all this stuff about me, and why can't I just, you know, have it out with Him? And for me, telling another person is very humbling. It's about humility. This whole process is about being humble and humility, as far as I'm concerned. So first I have to write it down, I have to own it, and now I have to tell somebody else. And that's what the step tells me. It says I have to share this with God and another human being. I have to share this with my higher power and another human being. And it says that in the step. You know, it's about ego deflation. Ego's a big thing. Easing God out is, for me, what it stands for. And that's what these steps are about. It's getting that ego out, getting that pride out of there. For me to do my fifth step, I needed somebody that was trustworthy and understanding. I know the book says, you know, even grab somebody on a park bench. That wouldn't work for me. You know. Although, I don't know, maybe it would, because they don't know me from Adam, so I could tell them anything. But, you know, I needed somebody that I knew I could trust and you know, I felt was understanding. And when I started doing this step, I started to get the feeling that I could be forgiven. And that also, I was learning how to forgive others. So for me, forgiveness was a big part of this. Very big part of this. And then 12 and 12, it states that 4 and 5 amount to a clearer recognition of what and who we really are, followed by a sincere attempt to become what we could be. Yeah, when I read that, I actually have it highlighted in here from a long time ago, and at first it didn't make a lot of sense, and then I had to read it again, and it says it amounts to a clear recognition of what and who we really are. So by writing that down, that's making it real clear, and it's followed by a sincere attempt to become what we could be. And for me, when I share that humbly with God, it's really easy for me. I can go anywhere and sit in a corner and talk to God. You know, we all can. But for me, like I said, the humbling part is sharing it with another human being. So that for me is that sincere attempt to become what I could be. And that's where, you know, that's where it comes in. In step four, my defects are recognized, but they're still there. Like I just said, I can admit them to myself and actually even sit here and think I can buffalo God, you know, because I can't see Him. He's not sitting next to me, even though I know that He knows everything that's going on. But the defects from step four, like I said, they're still there. They're recognized, but they're still there until I admit them to myself and I get rid of them. When I have to admit them to another person. I truly believe that. I think that's what step five, for me anyways, is vitally important, is that face-to-face contact with somebody, you know? And that's very humbling. If you haven't done it, you'll know what I mean when you do it. And it is a very, I can't even think of the word I want to use, but it's a very, for me, it was a very refreshing thing. It really was. Like I said, I can con myself, but not once I speak the words out loud. You know, once I say whatever I'm going to say out loud, there's no more con job there. You know, you're hearing what I got to say. Somehow being alone with God doesn't seem as embarrassing as a face-to-face setting with another person. And it isn't. Like I said, I had a nice little talk with God right back there in that chair before this meeting started. And I do that pretty regular. But and it's not about embarrassment. It's not about being embarrassed. Because I thought that. I thought, I can't share this stuff with anybody. You know, I can't share this with somebody else. They won't like me. You know, nobody's ever done that. And I can honestly tell you, most of the stuff that I shared, probably all of the stuff I shared, with my sponsor at the time. He just kind of chuckled and we just had a nice talk about it. And that's pretty much the way it's been with everybody that I haven't had to do a fist up with any murderers or anything, so that's really been cool. I don't want to... I better watch what I'm saying, okay? You don't look like any murderers in here. When I'm honest with another person, it confirms that I've been honest with myself and with God. So that third person, that other human being, is the key for me. It really is. You know, I know God is first and foremost, but that other, you know, that's the humbling, that's the most rewarding part in step five. The other benefit is that, like I said, I share it with another person and I get their take. I might get a direct comment, I might get some advice, I might get a little input, and which is what I got. You know, anytime I've done a four step and shared it with somebody, there's a conversation involved with it. And I usually find out, like I said, a lot of the time, it's not nearly as severe as I want to think in my own head. You know, how many times I've thought that I've had God's guidance, you know, thinking up here, when really all it was my own twisted will. So if I don't share this with another person, you know, I can just twist it all around. And like I said, I can think I'm conning God and don't even know it, you know. This step five for me really got me to feeling one with God. It really did. You know, the last thing I want to talk real quick about is my sponsor today still tells me, we talk about this all the time, that if I'm working a good program at any given time, I should be revisiting one of the steps. You know, whether it be step one, I'm powerless, I'm relying on a God to restore my sanity, two, turning things over, three, four, and five. Whenever Andy and I talk and I share with him, he'll say to me, you know what this is? And I know what he's going to say, but I always say what? And he'll say, this is step five. You know, when I share part of me with him or another person, or vice versa, and he does the same with me, that's we're revisiting the fifth step. And that's so important to remember, that if I'm working a good program, at any given time, I should be revisiting one of the steps. So that's pretty much all I have tonight. Thank you.
That woke us up.
I ain't cut it short again. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Thank you. Here we are again.
That's a good thing. Okay. Oh, I can go back there.
Jerome.
Jerome?
I'm Bridget. I have
a hi, Bridget.
Steve, I want to thank you for coming and filling your commitment. Even though lighting staff is around you and you have successful things in your life, it's an example of what this program does for us. To be able to see somebody in your life who has things that life happens and things may not go in their way, showing your commitment to the program and coming together to share with us. What I wanted to ask was, I know for me, when I did my first fourth step, I did not feel myself. I had the same step moving on, thought everybody, I have a lot of resentments, and I have a lot of reasons why I resented whatever this particular person or place, but I didn't see my part in it. I wonder if you have doing your fourth or fifth step, or if you have been doing this with your sponsors, if you have sponsors, if you've noticed that if this is the same, that this happens, that moving in the program, not understanding that part of it, I should have known what it is, my part of it, I didn't have that awareness.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch all that.
Okay, what I meant was, when I doing the fourth step,
yes.
I had not included myself.
Okay.
And like that I was actually had a part in some of these resentments I had. Some of these resentments I had that I didn't really understand that I had learned it, and I actually had resentments, and I had, and so I had this inventory of people that I had resentments against, but I didn't include myself.
Right.
I was also responsible for some of these things happening, and that truly there was some self-loathing, and I did not have any insight into that until I talked with my sponsor and did a fifth step, and then went back and talked more about it. And over the years, you know, I've become more aware, and as you said, more will be revealed. And I wonder if you've had that experience where sponsors don't really understand how that we're also looking at ourselves and our part of things.
Absolutely. And I actually went through basically the same thing, and I had a sponsor, like you said, that was willing to bring that to my attention, because I, as like you said, the same thing. I didn't include myself. And one reason I think that was because, like I said, for me, forgiveness was a big part. And I have to learn not only to forgive other people, but most importantly, I had to forgive myself. So, and yeah, and I have worked with other guys, the same thing. And I just share that, like Denny told me, to list some character assets. And I think that was part of me starting to forgive myself and realize, like I said, that I'm not necessarily a bad person, but a sick person trying to get well.
I'm for an alcoholic. Have you had a situation sponsoring anybody where someone asked you to sponsor and they were either atheist or agnostic? And how did you handle that?
That's a good question. I have not had the opportunity to sponsor anybody that is atheist. I have worked with a couple guys that would consider this some agnostic, which is, the definition is without knowledge, so to speak. But for me, and for anybody I work with, and I think it's really important to remember, and I shared this last week, that you know, this thing isn't prejudiced to anybody, and it doesn't matter, you know, like I said, male, female, black, white, gay, straight, Jewish, Catholic, or atheist. You know, we're all inclusive. So for me, like I said, when I talk about God, because I have a God in my life, but I have to remember, and that's why you'll usually hear me repeat, you know, a higher power. So I think, I guess to answer that is just mostly to instill the fact that I have to remember, and I have to tell them to remember that my best thinking got me here. So, you know, I have to rely on a power greater than myself. It doesn't necessarily have to be the God I believe in, as long as it's a power greater than me. And that could be you people right here. And I've heard that many times. G.O.D., a group of drunks.
Brian alcoholic. Now I have the best sponsor.
You sure do. I love your sponsor. So does Kevin. It's his favorite speaker.
But you didn't talk about ego. And I have a lot of problems with that. Because I used to think I had no problem. So how do you work on that ego?
You know, I'll tell you what. I'm glad you said it. Maybe you ought to call your sponsor. And he might talk to you about it. But I just shared it early on that really, like I said, has been... and I don't want to get into what's going on because it's not, that's irrelevant. And the bottom line is, and it has been, what did happen was my first thought was, how dare you insult my integrity? And wouldn't you know, last night at my discussion meeting in Northeast, the discussion was on integrity. So, you know, God has a weird way of bringing these things out. But I think, you know, ego is, you know, I still have pride. I can be a prideful person. That's one of the things I'm struggling with at work, is I take pride in what I do, and then I feel like I get slapped in the face. But like I said, to turn it around, I just have to continue to work on that. And for me, ego is easing God out. I can't take the credit that is due to my higher power. And, you know, when I turn this all around and I look at it, I'm very grateful today. And Pete McCormick sent me a really awesome, inspirational thing. And it said, I woke up this morning and I was just so grateful that I was alive, that I could breathe, that I can see. My sponsor always says, wiggle those little fingers. You see those 10 little fingers? You know, be grateful for the little things. So, you know, that helped me with ego. And ego does get in the way. I'm not going to lie and say it doesn't, because it does. And I'm dealing with it now. Not this very second, but at least I hope I'm not. Am I?
I have a pretty decent good sponsor.
You do. He's similar to Brad's sponsor.
Not ugly as sin. I'm a murderer.
Oh, we haven't done a fourth and fifth yet, damn it.
But actually, you know, you mentioned that, and my previous sponsor spoke, because I made that same joke to him. And he reminded me, I murder my spirit every single day. He said, don't forget that you have been down that road every single day of my life. And he was right, I have. You know, I had committed that, and I murdered everyone's hopes and dreams around me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so self-centered that I didn't let anything grow and develop.
Yep, very well put. And I think that kind of like goes in line with what Bridget was saying, you know. It's that self-centeredness and that ego, all of it, that, you know, keeps us away from it. So, and I think that's what, you know, by putting it down on paper, like I said, for me, writing it down was a ticket, but most importantly, I got to share it. You know, I can write it down, I can think about it all I want, but I got to share it. And that's where those things come out. So, you know.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks an awful lot.